नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। स उत्थारस्य तनयम् उपये मा इरावतीम् जनमे जाय याति मि चतुरास् ठस्यम् उत्पादयात् सुतान्। King Parikshit married the daughter of King Uttara and begot four sons headed by Maharaj Janamejaya. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Maharaj Uttara was the son of Virata and the maternal uncle of Maharaj Parikshit. Iravati, being the daughter of King Uttara, was the cousin sister of Maharaj Parikshit. But cousin brothers and sisters were allowed to get married if they did not belong to the same gotra or family. In the Vedic system of marriage, the importance of the gotra or family was stressed. Arjuna also married Subhadra, although she was his maternal cousin sister. Janamejaya, he was one of the Rajarshi kings and the famous son of Maharaj Parikshit. His mother's name was Iravati, or according to some, Madravati. Maharaj Janamejaya begot two sons of the name Gyatanika and Sankukarna. He celebrated several sacrifices in the Kurukshetra pilgrimage site, and he had three younger brothers named Shrutasena, Ugrasena, and Bhimasena. The second, he invaded Takshala, Ajanta, and he decided to avenge the unlawful curse upon his great father, Maharaj Parikshit. He performed a great sacrifice called Sarpa Yajna to kill the race of serpents, including Takshak, which had bitten his father to death. On request from many influential demigods and sages, he had to change his decision to kill the race of snakes. But despite stopping the sacrifice, he satisfied everyone concerned in the sacrifice by rewarding them properly. In the ceremony, Mahamuni Vyasadeva also was present, and he personally narrated the history of the battle of Kurukshetra before the king. Later on, by the order of Vyasadeva, his disciple Vaisampayana narrated before the king the subject matter of Mahabharata. He was much affected by his father's untimely death and was very anxious to see him again. And he expressed his desire before the great sage Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva also fulfilled his desire. His father was present before him, and he worshipped both his father and Vyasadeva with great respect and pomp. Being fully satisfied, he most munificently gave charities to the Brahmins present at the sacrifice. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1. Chapter 16, entitled How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. Text number 2. Suta Goswami is herein describing some of the background in the life of King Parikshit as a introduction to the incredible devotional activities he is about to perform. In our particular verse for today, his marriage is described to Irabati, the daughter of King Uttara, and how later on he begot four sons headed by Maharaj Janamejaya. In today's purport, Srila Prabhupada briefly explains some of the highlights in the life of Maharaj Janamejaya. Specifically, the sacrifice he performed to destroy the entire race of all serpents within the universe. This story is described in 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many important lessons therein. We know that King Parikshit, who was completely had complete control over his mind and senses, because he was always absorbed in Krishna. Actually, from his very stay in the womb of his mother, he had the beautiful darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And after seeing Krishna, param drishtvani vartate, how could he be attracted to any of the temporary, illusory attractions of a world of death? Rupa Goswami has warned, if you are attached to your body, your family, your wealth, your prestige, your friendship, and your so-called love in this world, then do not go to Keshi Tirtha on bank of Yamuna, because there Govinda is standing in the moonlight in his threefold bending form, playing upon his flute. When you see that form, which is the absolute source of all beauty, the name Krishna indicates how Krishna is all attractive. Everything that everyone is longing for in their pursuit of pleasure, Krishna is the origin and the full-fledged manifestation. Why do people become attracted to one another in this world? Sometimes we see that friends and even lovers, there's such a deep bond of attachment that people cannot live without each other. Sometimes the mind is plagued with obsession and attraction for another human being. Why? And at the time of death, nobody's attracted to the body. It's because every living being is an infinitesimal, tiny little part and parcel of Krishna. That is why there's any attraction in this world. Krishna is the complete whole, the supreme. How beautiful is Krishna? Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that we can control our senses and our mind by various tapasya, religious principles, cultivation of knowledge and discrimination. But ultimately, param drisba nivartate. Unless we experience the higher taste, unless we taste the nectar of devotion, then our morality, our austerities cannot really survive. Daivihi shukunamayi mamamaya duratyaya. That material nature is very, very powerful. And what is her power? Material nature keeps the conditioned soul entrapped and entangled by the process of infatuating us with the hope that something temporary can give us pleasure. And in search of that illusory hope for pleasure, we have to suffer repeated birth and death. Very difficult to overcome, because anandamayobhya shat, the soul needs pleasure. The soul is satchit ananda, it is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, it must have pleasure. So when we experience the pleasure of Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, the love of Krishna, then all the so-called pleasures of material world become utterly insignificant. In the absence of Krishna, these pleasures of material existence become all-pervading, all-conquering. So Maharaj Parikshit, he saw Krishna in the womb of his mother. Because his mother was a great devotee, his grandfather and his granduncles were the Pandavas. So therefore Krishna revealed himself. That is Krishna's nature. Anyone who surrenders to Krishna, Krishna is especially merciful to all persons connected. We see in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, even though Hiranyakashipu was such a horrible demon, still he was given liberation simply because Prahlad Maharaj was favorably disposed toward him. There was a relationship. Similarly, Dhruva Maharaj, he surrendered to Krishna by the influence of Narada Muni and by the inspiration of his mother, Suniti. And many generations down, there was King Prachini Barhishat, who was a religious man, but who was very, very much attached to materialistic enjoyment. So Krishna sent Narada Muni, and he, through such an incredible preaching method, he brought King Prachini Barhishat to the platform of surrendering his heart and his life to Krishna. So yes, devarshibu taptinu nam pitrinam. If we want to do the best service for those we love, we should become pure devotees. Because if we become pure devotees, we have no other obligation. Krishna will deliver. Krishna will give special mercy. So Parikshit Maharaj was the object of Krishna's very, very special mercy. And therefore, from his very childhood, Prabhupada explains, he loved to worship the deities. He really had no concern with material enjoyment. He didn't even like to play. He just wanted to play with Krishna. But he will. Prabhupada explained his father gave him that same impression. When he was just a small child, he would wake up in the morning hearing the Mangalarti. And he would go and see his father and mother worshipping Radha Govinda in their family temple. So this was his natural feeling, that this is what's important, this is what's wonderful in life, because little children especially, they like they're very influenced by their parents. So he saw his parents engaging in such sincere, loving, devotional service to Lord Krishna. And even in the dedication of Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada wrote, he dedicated to his father, Gaur Mohan Day, who imbibed devotional service to Radha Govinda in his heart, which was later very much substantiated by his eternal father, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Prabhupada saw his father practically every night inviting many sadhus to the home and serving them and engaging the whole family in serving the sadhus. And he never asked for any material benediction. The only benediction he asked from the sadhu is, please bless my son that he will be a dear devotee of Sri Radharani. So this is what little Abhay Charan was seeing, and how much he appreciated and loved his father for that throughout his whole life. So Parikshit Maharaj was this type of a great personality. And when he became king, he was a completely self-realized soul, a Raja Rishi. So how is it that when he went into the forest, he was so overcome by thirst? And when he went to the ashram of Samyak Rishi, he asked for water. And Samyak Rishi was in samadhi. He was completely unaware of the external world. Now Parikshit Maharaj, who was amani namanadena, he was always respectful to others. He did not demand any respect for himself because he was fully satisfied within. Apurya manama chala pratishtam. One who understands Krishna, the satisfaction of the heart is like a vast ocean. One is not disturbed by the so-called pleasures and pains of this world. One doesn't need people who are dissatisfied within. They need physical sensual pleasures. And they also need recognition. They're very hurt when there's harsh words, and they're longing to be respected. They're longing for some position where people will adore them. That's simply a sign of a person who's empty, poverty-stricken within. Amani namanadena. When one is experiencing Krishna's love, when one tastes the nectar of devotion, one doesn't care anything for this. So Parikshit Maharaj was on that level. So why did he feel insulted by a great sage? Actually, it was Krishna's yoga maya. Krishna covered over him. Krishna covered over Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, when he appeared as Mohini Murti. That was quite incredible. Lord Shiva is chasing this young lady right through the ashram of his own devotees, who were all ascetics. They were babajis and sannyasis in the forest, following strict vows of tapasya, celibacy. And they were and all of their tapasya was being offered to Lord Shiva. And they were praying him for the power to do so. And here they see their worshipable Lord running after a young, beautiful lady. Hare Krishna. And afterward, when the Lord made Lord Shiva sober, Lord Shiva wasn't even the slightest bit ashamed of what he did. He was proud. He was proud. Krishna, you are so powerful. You show the whole world how I am subordinate to you. That was not Mahamaya, because Mohinimurti was Krishna himself in a very, very transcendentally unusual form. So his attraction was to Krishna. So Maharaj Pariksha was covered over temporarily by this yoga maya potency. Therefore, it is very, very dangerous to criticize or judge great personalities. Because what is actually Krishna's plan may not always be visible to our eyes at the present moment. So here, Parikshit Maharaj became angry, and he, I come as a guest to your house, I'm the king, and you don't even acknowledge my existence? So he did something very small. He decided to garland him with a dead snake. He picked with his bow, he picked up a dead snake and put it around his shoulders. Not very serious. And then he left. And he was thinking, why did I do that? Meanwhile, Sringi, the inexperienced son of Samyak Rishi, he was so angry. He was a Brahmin, and according to the Bhagavatam, the foremost qualification of a Brahmin is forgiveness. A real Brahmin is forgiving. He didn't evaluate that Parikshit as a great king, he's a great Vaishnava, he's a descendant of the Pandavas. I don't understand what he did and why. Perhaps I should contemplate and ask some great personalities how this could have happened to my father. No, he just reacted and cursed King Parikshit to die within 7 days. Now, King Parikshit, when he got this news, he did not lament that he was going to die. He only lamented that he offended a great sage. He could have sent all his armies to kill Sringi, but he didn't. He accepted it as Krishna's mercy. Tate nukampam susumikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vibhagam. This is the quality of a person who's qualified for liberation. That even when difficult tragedies come in our life, with folded hands, we accept it as the mercy of Krishna. With grateful heart, Parikshit was grateful. He was at the peak of his youth. He had a wonderful family, 4 sons headed by Janamejaya, a beautiful chaste wife. He had the undisputed throne of the entire world, such royalty. He had everything. And it was all going to be taken away from him within 7 days. He had so much to lose materially. But he welcomed his death as the inconceivable mercy of the Lord. And he went to the Ganga, taking vow to fast. No eating, no sleeping, not even drinking of water. He simply wanted to hear the transcendental message of Vasudeva. Because he was so sincere, all the rishis and sages from all over the universe were coming because they wanted to render some service to Parikshit Maharaj. He has done so much for the whole world. They wanted to reciprocate and be there to help him to die remembering Krishna. And ultimately, by Krishna's own love for the king, he sent Sukadev Goswami, the foremost of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva. And King Parikshit worshipped him and asked him very important questions about the goal of life, the duty of a human being. What is true religion? And what is the duty of a man about to die? In response to his questions, Sukadev Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. At the very end of the narration, Sukadev Goswami understood the seventh day has come. It is now time for Parikshit Maharaj to leave his body. So Sukadev Goswami summarized the entire teaching of the Bhagavatam and explained to Parikshit Maharaj, there is no reason to fear death. Takshaka is about to come, but you are the eternal soul. You are beyond the senses. You are beyond the mind. Just engage all your senses, all your mind in complete absorption in Krishna, the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead. For the soul there is no death, but the soul that forgets Krishna identifies with all the sufferings of this world and the ultimate suffering of death. Not only death of ourselves, but death of so many people around us. Sukadev Goswami told Parikshit, absorb your consciousness, your speech, your actions, and your mind in Krishna. Then Parikshit Maharaj responded. He said, I have no fear of death. I have no fear of this takshaka or any other magical thing that may be created by these Brahmins. Because I have found shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because I have heard the glories of the Lord from you. Therefore, let anything happen, I have no fear. And then, bowing at the lotus feet of Maharaj Parikshit, Sukadev Goswami, with such deep sincerity, he begged permission from Sukadev Goswami to die. Hare Krishna. He begged for his permission. Let me absorb my words, my actions, and my mind in the Supreme Lord and give up this life. Sukadev Goswami granted his blessings. Then Parikshit Maharaj worshipped Sukadev Goswami and all the other sages. Sukadev Goswami left that place. Just as he came detached from everything in this world, he departed. Parikshit Maharaj took a kushi grass mat with the tips facing the eastern direction. He faced the northern direction and sat down, completely internalized his consciousness to meditating on the beautiful form of Lord Krishna within his heart. As he was sitting in complete absorption, he became like a tree, still, unmoving. Actually, this is the perfection of life, to be completely absorbed in Krishna. And we should go. Are you all absorbed in Krishna? Very nice. Very ready. Whatever we do, we should absorb ourselves. Absorption means to put our full consciousness. When we look at the, when we present ourselves before the deities, when we chant the holy names, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, when we worship Tulsi Devi, when we perform our particular devotional activities, the power of the cleansing of these devotional activities is very much determined by how much we absorb ourselves, how much we surrender our consciousness to these devotional acts. If we really are trying to absorb ourselves, then nothing we do is mechanical. Sometimes devotional service seems mechanical and ritualistic. We go through the motions. We chant our rounds, and our mind is somewhere else. We're at Mangal Arati, and our mind, our senses, everything's somewhere else. It's just our body that's there. We perform our service because it has to be done, or because it should be done. Certainly it's better to do things mechanically than to not do them at all. But ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamya. Krishna reciprocates according to our consciousness. When we are really trying to absorb ourselves in doing it nicely for the pleasure of the Lord, then there is a tremendous amount of reciprocation that comes from the Lord within our heart. Whatever we do, sam siddhir hari toshanam, is to please Krishna. And Krishna's pleased only by bhakti. And what is bhakti? Absorption. So even Rupa Goswami explains, even the most menial, ordinary activity that we do in the day, we should really be trying to absorb ourselves in the consciousness that this is the pleasure, this is for the pleasure of Krishna. When we're chanting japa, we should be trying to hear the holy name, trying to absorb ourselves in the holy name. That effort takes us completely off the mechanical level. Machines cannot try. Machines just do. So we should be absorbed in really trying, endeavoring to have the best possible consciousness that whatever we do, it's for the pleasure of Krishna, not my interpretation of what pleases Krishna. But what guru, what is pleasing guru, what is pleasing Vaishnavas, what is Krishna speaking? So Parikshit Maharaj absorbed himself so deeply in the remembrance of Krishna, exactly as he heard Krishna from Sukadeva Goswami, his Gurudev, that his whole body became still like a tree. At that time, Takshaka. Came toward Parikshit Maharaj. But as he was traveling on the path, he happened to see Kashyapa Muni. Now this was an impediment. He was, by the curse of Sringi the Brahmin, Takshaka was destined to bite Parikshit Maharaj with his poisonous fangs. So there was a problem, because if Kashyapa Muni's around, everything's spoiled. Why? Because Kashyapa Muni had the power by mantra to take away any poison from a snake from someone's body. He proved it. One time Takshaka bit a tree, and the tree was dying, and Kashyapa Muni did a mantra, and the tree just, all the poison was out of the tree. So Takshaka began to flatter Kashyapa Muni with very sweet words, and gave him gifts, and somehow or other diverted him to another direction. Then Takshaka disguised himself as a Brahmin. He approached Parikshit Maharaj. Sukadeva Goswami actually blessed Parikshit Maharaj that he would be so absorbed in Krishna, he wouldn't even know that Takshaka was coming. He wouldn't even know that he was dying. He would just go back to Godhead. This was Parikshit Maharaj's consciousness. He was just sitting. And Takshaka came in the form of Brahman and bit him with his poison fangs. And immediately, Parikshit Maharaj's body just blazed with fire and disappeared, as his eternal soul went back home, back to Godhead. The demigods, the sages, the rishis, they were all gathered around from all directions watching. First they felt great sorrow that the king Parikshit is gone. But then knowing that he went back to Krishna Loka, they were so happy. They were playing kettle drums and showering flowers. When the news came to the eldest son, Janamejaya, he was so angry. Why? Because his father was a faultless, spotless, pure soul. He did not deserve to die so young. So he called the Brahmins, very powerful Brahmins, to perform a yajna to avenge the death of his father. And in this yajna, by chanting mantras, he would force all the snakes that lived within this creation of the universe to just be cast into the fire and burned to death. Hare Krishna. So they were chanting the mantras, and snake after snake after snake, just from all directions, they were just flying into this fire and burning to ash. It's a very exciting scene. They're just offering oblations with different snakes' names, and then because they chanted that snake, thousands and thousands of snakes were being destroyed. Then Janamejaya asked the priest, why Takshaka hasn't entered the fire to die? And the Brahmin said, because knowing that you're performing this yajna, Takshaka went to Swargaloka and took shelter of Indra. Indra is protecting him. So Janamejaya said, if Indra is protecting him, then chant the mantra of Indra and let him and Takshaka together burn to ashes. And any other demigods, let them all enter the fire. Hare Krishna. These were powerful Brahmins, and Janamejaya was the son of Parikshit. When he spoke, he had great potency. So what happened? Indra was on his airplane. All of a sudden, his airplane just started falling apart, and he was just being pulled to the fire with Takshaka along with him. And Indra was crying out, help, help, all demigods and snakes and Indra all just zooming toward the fire. At that point, Brihaspati, who was the teacher, guru for the demigods, he approached. Should I end now? he approached Janamejaya. And he explained that actually all of this birth and death, it is all due to karmas. And you should not interfere with all these other people's karma. Why should you kill everybody? Just let them work out their karma in their own natural ways. That is the proper understanding. And besides that, there are so many innocent people, even innocent snakes that you're killing. Why are you destroying them? Let them live out their karma. That is Krishna's will. We should be forgiving and kind to all. Brihaspati spoke so nicely that Janamejaya stopped the yajna and then gave nice gifts and donations to the priests who performed the yajna. In this case, Suta Goswami explains that the nature of a devotee. A devotee does not mind bearing any type of insult to him or herself. But even in the face of an onslaught of insult, a devotee will still respect all other people and absorb himself in remembering Krishna. And the easiest way to absorb ourselves in remembering Krishna is by the chanting of his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In this way, even though being insulted or even persecuted, a devotee is humble, respectful, and the well-wisher of all living beings. This was the example of Parikshit. And ultimately, after enlightenment, this was the example of his son, Janamejaya. Trinadapi sunichena turor ivasihishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahati. Humility like the grass, tolerance like tree, eager to offer all respect to others and not expect any in return. This consciousness pleases Krishna. Therefore, he empowers us to chant his holy name constantly. In other words, to never forget him, to always remember him. So certainly, Janamejaya, he was reacting to an offense toward another Vaishnava, his father, not to himself. But still, even in this case, he was forgiving when he was enlightened to understand that ultimately this was the inconceivable will of the Lord. Is there, would you like to speak something for Pralladananda Swami Maharaj? Maharaj is one of the very, very senior associates of Srila Prabhupada. One of the most deeply learned in Srila Prabhupada's books. Please speak something.
Thank you for the. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the. Thank you for the animated class. Srila Prabhupada.
Is there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
You were mentioning how Parikshit Maharaj is covered by Krishna's yoga maya. And as I recall in Krishna book, the description of the Ras dance, the husbands of the gopis, I believe Prabhupada says they were covered, maybe you know, by Mahamaya. If I recall correctly, I was wondering if you might comment on the situation. husbands of the gopis, they were covered by Krishna.
In Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, it is all working under the control of Yoga Maya. But Krishna explains, Daivi Heshu Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya, that even this Mahamaya, he says, it is his divine energy. Naham Prakasha Saravasya, yes, Yoga Maya Samarita. So sometimes they are interchangeable. Therefore, we must understand from acharyas really what is the application of the particular incident where the word yogamaya or mahamaya. Generally, mahamaya is the material energy and yogamaya is the spiritual energy. But ultimately, it's one energy. Prabhupada explains, just like an electrical current, it goes into one device and creates cold in a refrigerator. And in another device, the same electricity creates heat in a heater. So it is the same energy. So the terminology is sometimes used in different ways in different circumstances. But we must understand through the purports of Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas what actually is the application at that particular time. One more question, Mataji, please.
Mataji is asking if this karma of the devotee to be from the south, why should we protect the devotee?
Huh? Because it is your duty to Krishna to protect. Krishna will not be pleased if you stand by and allow another devotee to be insulted. It is a test for you. Haribo. We can say, if it's the karma for cows to die, why should we be vegetarians? If it's the karma for people to be in Maya, why should we preach? Huh? Because it's the duty of a devotee to please Krishna, to try to intervene and enlighten certain karmic situations. And especially in regard to devotees. When Nityananda was hit on the head by Madhai, Lord Chaitanya did not say, it is his karma. He came angry as fire to kill Madhai. You have caused harm to Nityananda. You must die. Chakra, chakra. Sudarshan Chakra came. Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach us that it is our love, it is our devotion to serve the devotees, to protect the devotees. We must do it with proper understanding. Otherwise, we can become fanatics. Hari Hari. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.